Go ahead and take your Bibles tonight. Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, and chapter 1 is where we'll be this evening. And boy, not just a pretty tune and a nicely job well done, but the words so impactful. And I hope that as you hear the special music, you think about the words. And also, Brother Matt, thanks so much. That last song that we sang, that's really a prayer, isn't it? To be able to cast all my cares upon the Lord. I don't know about you, but I needed that song tonight. Cast all my cares upon you and lay all of my burdens down at your feet. Boy, we get a hold of that truth. That's something special in our lives. Appreciate the music tonight, everybody's effort. Always enjoy. Some of my favorite people to listen to and to hear sing is you guys. Whether it's in a congregational singing where you guys really get after it and sing out, or it's the special groups, nothing better, all right? Nothing better than that at all. Hey, Ephesians chapter 1, hopefully you're there. We're going to read a couple of verses as we get into tonight's message. Going forward, we're adding a new category to the impact points, and that is you're able to pick up a few more impact points if you listen to the podcast, all right? So if you're not a reader, you don't care to read down through the printed devotional thought that we give you, you can listen online, and for every episode that you listen to during the week, you can pick up an additional 5 extra points. So, which is pretty significant, all right? You add that up. But the idea is the podcast is not your devotions in a nutshell, okay? The idea is you read the Bible, okay? That's what really matters, all right? So I hope that you'll read the chapter that we're focusing in on right now. We're in the book of Proverbs, so much in the book of Proverbs that we can glean from, and I hope that you're enjoying it, but make sure you read God's Word, spend some time in prayer, and then if you have some extra time in your commute or whatever you're doing, listen to the podcast. You can pick up some extra points. This Saturday, we've got another interview slotted for the Saturday sit-down, and after you go home and sleep a little bit after the activity, some of you won't sleep at all. I always enjoy the Sunday school after, figuring out who actually went home and slept, who stayed up the whole time, or who is actually asleep in Sunday school. But it's always interesting. But after you go home and do whatever, you have a chance to listen to the interview, sat down with somebody in particular, and I believe it'll be a help to you. We want it to be. Ephesians chapter 1. Some great verses here. I love the book of Ephesians, and so many nuggets of truth here. Can I just encourage you, just in the next 20 minutes, can you do this? Can you take all of the things that are occupying your mind right now, those things that really interest you about maybe something you're going to do when you get home or something you're going to eat when you get home or whatever. Just take all those things and say, all right, Lord, I'm just zoning that stuff out because I want you to speak to me. All right, let's all gather around God's Word, hear what He has to say. Ephesians chapter 1, let's start here in verse 2. Notice what it says, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. These verses are all about being in Christ. Notice with me verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with spiritual blessings. We read that verse 4, according to as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself according to good pleasure of His will. And then verse 6, and this is what I want to launch from this evening. Notice verse 6, it says this, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. We're going to unpack this just a little bit tonight. We're going to talk about that phrase there at the end of what it means to be accepted in the Beloved. Heavenly Father, we need Your help tonight. Lord, anytime that I have a chance to preach, I realize, Lord, that I am so weak, and Lord, I need you to be my strength. Lord, I need you to guide my words and my thoughts. And Lord, I need your Spirit to keep me from saying those things that don't need to be said in the time that we've got. Lord, I equally need your Spirit to harness every thought here tonight, Lord, every teenager's mind, Lord, every person that runs to run wild with something they're going to do or some interest that they have. Lord, I pray that you would keep us all on track this evening. I pray that there would not be one teenager, Lord, who would distract anyone from the eternal truth that we're looking at. And Lord, ultimately, I pray that if there's one here tonight that does not know what it means to be in Christ, that doesn't know what it means to have eternity settled, oh God, I pray that they would see Jesus Christ high and lifted up. Lord, teach us something tonight. We need it. In your name we pray. Amen. Accepted in the beloved. You know, when I first met my wife, you know, some people talk about love at first sight, this kind of thing, all right? Some of you seventh graders know what I'm talking about, all right? You know, when I first met my wife, I liked her right off the bat, okay? There really was not a whole lot of, well, I needed to get to know her first before I really, really liked her. You know what? I just, right out of the gate, I liked her. All right, and you know what? As happens with every relationship, hopefully your enjoyment of that person, or your delight in that person, or your like, or whatever, hopefully it grows. All right, over time, and certainly that was the case with our relationship, and in fact, at some point in time, I got to a place where I moved from the like category into the love category, all right? And now listen. Now, are you listening? Did I lose you? I start talking about love and it just falls to pieces. Anyway, but I moved into that category. And you know what? I saw a lot of people, okay? I saw a lot of people, friends who, you know, dated this girl, dated that girl, and, you know, just down the list. I mean, they could write several books on, you know, all the girls that they dated. And furthermore, all the girls that they told that, I love you. And, you know, that really bothered me. And so I made a decision that I was not going, no matter how I felt inside, all right, I was not going to tell the girl that I was going to marry someday. I was not going to tell her I loved her until we got engaged. All right? Now, we dated a long time. Too long. Okay? But nonetheless, there came a point where I felt like in my heart, I really loved this girl. And so, you know, when we would talk, you know, I would say, well, I just want you to know that I really like you. I mean, the most you can like a person, I like you, okay? All right, so, but anyway, there came a point where I finally, when I asked her to marry me, I told her for the first time, I said, I love you. And this is a side note, but it meant so much to her that I treated those words as special. And they were, all right? And I hope that you won't just throw those words around. But at any rate, I remember when it came time we were getting married, and people would come up and they would tell me this, all right? And I still even don't know how to take it now. But they would come up and they would say things like, now, you think that you love your wife or your future wife, okay, depending on which side of the fence we were on at the time. You think you love her now, but just wait. That love will grow. Okay? I remember we were shortly after we were married, we visited a church, and this pastor didn't know us, and you know, people would say that. It sort of bothered me a little bit, because I was like, but I love her, all right? I mean, you're kind of discounting my love here a little bit. But I tell you, I heard that several times. And can I tell you on this side now, I can tell you that, you know what, they were right. My love has grown and blossomed in ways for her that I just didn't know were possible. And you know, that's, and one day you'll be able to, let's stay mature, you'll be able to do that, you'll be able to experience that as well. But listen, this is what I want us to understand. You know what? Humanly speaking, that is a natural thing. Okay? It is a natural thing for acquaintance to grow into affection, affection to grow into like, and like to grow into love, and love to grow into loving even greater. Okay? That's just how us humans interact. But here's what I want you to understand, and that is this. Okay? You and I could not be any more loved of God right now than what we already are. Okay? I want that to settle in. Okay? You and I could not be loved of God any greater than what we are right now at this moment. And that's part of what it means to be accepted in the beloved. Hey, I want to give you a few things tonight, and this is really what I want to talk about. You and I, as human beings, we enjoy so much, and we crave affirmation. We crave even approval. It's a part of our lives, and really, other people can have a great impact on us in that way. It's encouraging. But sometimes we get out of kilter when that begins to be the thing that we really live for. We could say it like this: if we're not careful, we can develop an unhealthy appetite toward the approval of others. And you would think that Leah and I got together on some thoughts tonight, because a lot of what she said sort of goes hand in hand with what we're going to talk about this evening. If we're not careful, it can become an overriding motivation that keeps us on an unpredictable roller coaster of insecurity and instability. Here's what we have to understand. We crave acceptance and we crave the approval of men, but we need it from God. Let me say that again. We crave acceptance and approval of men, but we need it from God. We like to know we matter to others, but we forget how much we matter to the Lord. Notice with me, first of all, and I want us to see this in verse 6. He says here, Paul, sort of talking about what the Lord has done for us, and talks about for the purpose of, verse 6, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the beloved. So you say, what are we saying? In other words, you and I as Christians should not live for the approval and acceptance of man, but rather the approval and acceptance and favor of Almighty God. Paul is telling us here, number one, that we serve the Lord because we're already accepted. Notice that word accepted there. It has the idea of favor. We've been accepted, as he says in the first few verses, because of our birth in Christ. Everybody turn with me to Galatians chapter 4. I want you to see this, and please stay with me. This truth is so important to our everyday Christian living. Galatians chapter 4, I want to show you the favor and the acceptance that we've been granted by Almighty God. Accepted in the beloved. Galatians chapter 4. I want us to notice that we've been adopted into God's family and we've been given equal standing before God. Galatians chapter 4. Notice these amazing verses. Verse 4, notice what it says. But when the fullness of time was come, Galatians 4 and verse 4, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. To what? To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Verse 7, here's the point. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Boy, this is a beautiful picture of our standing when we accept Christ as our personal Savior. Amazing thought that at that moment, when we become a child of God, we are loved of God in a way that is beyond human comprehension. Aside from our sin, aside from the future, the wicked things we did in the past, and the full knowledge that God has of the wicked things that we will do in the future, God, when as we stand before Him, He says, hey, that is my child, and he is accepted, and he has favor in my eyes. Is that important to you? It should be. You know, in fact, the favor and acceptance of God should be the most important thing in our lives. Well, how can we make it the most important thing? We're going to talk about some of that here as we get into it. Beautiful picture in Galatians chapter 4. Turn back with me to Ephesians chapter 1 as we continue on. We serve because we are accepted rather than to gain acceptance. I want you to notice just very quickly here, I thank the Lord for the people who have had a great impact on my life. The affirmation of mentors. Who are the people that have mentored you? I want you to think about that for a second. What's a mentor? What's a mentor do? Or who would be a mentor? What would a mentor do? Tyler? Yeah, teaches you and guides you in your way. Give me some mentors in Scripture. Some mentors. Yes. Yeah. Boy, that's a great one. And you know, Paul references that and back and forth throughout the New Testament. That's a great one. Tyler? Yeah, yeah. Elijah mentored Elisha. Boy, where would Elisha have been without a godly mentor in Elijah? Yes?
Moses and Joshua.
Moses and Joshua. Yeah. Boy, if we had Joshua up here tonight, I'm sure he'd have a few choice words to say about the mentorship of Moses in his life. Andrew? David. Yeah. Who else? Saw another hand. Don't want to. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Uh-huh. And really, you know, discipleship, as we know it, cannot really take place unless someone is reaching out and mentoring. And that's the whole idea of global missions. It's the idea of, hey, I as a Christian can be used of God to give the gospel to someone else and then even share in the experience of growth in my life, but also in their life. It's a wonderful thing. You know, mentors are an incredible, incredible thing in our lives, and I hope that you have some. You know, front and center could be your parents. Many of you, if you have Christian parents, can say, well, you know what, I have a Christian mom or a Christian dad, or maybe even both, that have mentored me. They've taught me, they've trained me, not only in general things, but also in things pertaining to the Word of God. And that is a great thing. You know, I think about some of the men who have mentored me and who've had a great influence on me. And, you know, some of those people when I was in high school would have been people in ministry. I remember several men who had a great impact on my life, each for different reasons. But, you know, even mentors, as the Lord can even use them in a positive way, sometimes in our lives, our allegiances or even the way we view acceptance can even be shifted and have a negative impact. You say, well, how does that? Well, I remember when I was in high school, there was an assistant pastor at our church. I think I've shared this with some of you before. And he was just, I'll tell you, when I looked at him, he was, as an assistant pastor, somebody who was in the ministry, he was everything that I wanted to be in ministry. I mean, he just had a great personality. He connected well with people. He seemed to be very effective in what God had called him to do. I enjoyed picking his brain on just future ministry things and hearing him talk, and it was always a neat thing. And I remember I'd go off to college, I'd come back, and he'd want to know what was going on. And well, you know, there was a special connection with this individual. And I remember thinking to myself, you know, wow, when I do certain things, I wonder if this person's going to be proud of me. I wonder if, you know, when I do this, I wonder if I'm going to get a well done from them. And, you know, that's not necessarily bad per se, but, you know, there came a point in my life when this individual, he made some wrong decisions. And eventually he would have to leave the ministry because of it. But you know what? Here was a mentor that meant so much to me. And when he had to step down, it just rocked my world. I remember I was in college, and here's somebody that I looked up to. Here's someone that I loved to have conversation with and who would encourage me. And it just, boy, it really hit home. And I remember there was a struggle point in my heart at that moment. Because there was a part of me that had hung some hopes on an individual that had so craved acceptance and approval from an individual that I had to back up at that point and say, okay, hey, wait a second. Does my whole world have to crumble because of one individual's bad decisions? Where really do I get the acceptance in my life? What's most important to me? Is it the approval of individuals, or is it the approval of Almighty God? And you know, that was a great moment that the Lord used in my life. But we have to understand that being accepted in the Beloved, being accepted in Christ, and being able to know that, hey, His favor of me, what He thinks about me is what is most important, is a place that all of us need to get to. Affirmation of mentors. You know, sometimes we think about this in relation to Paul and Timothy. It's already been mentioned, but Paul even said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, he says, hey, follow me as I follow Christ. So we need to be careful that our Christianity does not get wrapped up in one individual. You know, our affirmation from peers. You know, we have the ability to encourage each other, which we should do. We have the ability to sharpen each other, which we should do. You know, but things can be taken to a poor extreme. I remember when I was in high school, and just coming into high school, it's a brand new world. You're looking at people that, you know, you're just looking up to. And I remember thinking, you know what, I've got to act a certain way if I'm going to be accepted. I remember thinking I've got to listen to a certain style of music if I'm going to be accepted. You know, I've got to say certain things if people are going to accept me. And maybe, and most of you have thought this way too, whether you'd admit it or not, but this is how we can deceive ourselves. Because ultimately, should we care what other people think? Well, in a sense, but ultimately, what matters is what God thinks of me. What matters is not the approval of my friends or my peers, but what matters is what God thinks of me. And we need to consider that. So how exactly do we know if we are struggling in this area? How do you know if you've been taken hostage by the approval of others, or you live your life accordingly? Well, I think there's some tells, and I think one of those can be found in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. I want you to go over there just for a second, 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. And if you're taking notes, the first thing is this: you find yourself comparing yourself easily with others. You find yourself comparing yourself easily with others. This is how we can know that we are being held hostage by the approval of other people. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. Somebody read that for me aloud. Somebody's got it. Let's see, who's got that? All right, Tyler's got it. Read that for me aloud, buddy. Go ahead. Okay, all right. So sometimes people push themselves forward because they're trying to keep pace with other people. Now, listen, this is something that we all struggle with, okay? There are areas that I am competitive in that you are not competitive in, okay? I find that whenever I'm playing sports, that's probably the most competitive thing for me, no matter what it is. I get into it, and boy, that's my struggle point. I have to guard my heart about getting too much into it, okay? But for you, it could be schoolwork. Okay, but what's the ultimate thing that you and I crave in those situations? You know, sometimes when we get into things, we do it for the wrong reasons. A good test for us is, well, when it comes to our schoolwork, okay, is really the standard beating out my classmates? Is that really the standard? Because I want to outpace someone, one particular person, or everyone? Or is it, well, the Lord wants me to do my best, And ultimately, I want to please him, so that's what I'm going to do. You know, it could be schoolwork, it could be a sport, it could even be in the social media arena. You know, hey, as long as I'm getting more likes than so and so, okay, or as long as I'm getting as many views as this person, or playing a game, hey, as long as I have this many points than this person, then I'm good. Or as long as I have this many friends, more so than this person, I'm good. And you know what? That deceptive nature can creep into all of our lives. But what we need to understand is the fact that comparing ourselves among ourselves is not wise, as Paul says. And it sure enough is a tell that the approval of others is in our thinking. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 23. It gets right to the point here. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. So what is he saying? Instead of thinking this way of, hey, I do things for this reason because I want to edge out this person or I want this person's approval, we need to think of it in terms of, hey, I care what God thinks about me. I care ultimately what he approves of. Not only do we see that being hostage to the approval of others manifests itself in comparing ourselves with other people, but also when you are easily frustrated by your own limitations. Easily frustrated by your own limitations. Who likes having weakness here? Anybody like having weakness? Who likes it when everybody can get a full view of your weakest point? Do we like that? No, we don't. No. Most of us, we like to hide our weaknesses, right? They're weaknesses. We're not proud of them. And so we guard them. We don't want anybody to see them. You know, when I was in elementary school, if I got hurt and it reached a certain level of tears, maybe, for some reason, you just hide it, right? You find ways to mask it. You don't want people to see. It's weakness, and so you're trying to give the impression that it isn't there. You know, this is just another layer, though, when we're easily frustrated by our own limitations. We don't like others to see our weaknesses. You know, some people, though, are so focused on their weaknesses or limitations because of how it makes them appear before others. Let me give you an example of this. Maybe someone thinks that someone has a tender heart. Okay, their heart easily breaks. Maybe they're easy to cry because of a situation, or they feel in a situation empathy for other people, and it's just like a mechanism it turns on. Some people may see that as a weakness and say, well, you know, I don't want other people to see this. I wish that I wasn't that way. We're focused on our weaknesses because we seek others' approval. Sometimes somebody may say, well, I'm unattractive. This is a weakness that I have. And let me just say this. If you have ever thought to yourself that I am unattractive, understand that every human being on the face of the earth has thought the exact same thing, okay? And if you have not, you are too full of yourself, okay? All right? Everybody does. Everybody does, okay? But you know what? That can become so much of an acceptance thing in people's lives that perceived weakness all of a sudden begins to control everything you do. And it's not, Lord, you know, you've given me what you've given me for your glory. It's, Lord, why do I have this weakness? And why do people have to see this weakness? And why is it apparent to other people? And it begins to control your life. It's just another layer in which you're being held hostage to the approval of other people. Our limitations are easily frustrate us. You know, as Christians, we understand that God uses our weaknesses to reveal his strength in our lives. 2 Corinthians 12, verses 9 and 10 speaks about our weakness and how God's grace is meant to be used in our lives to lead us. It's not about all those people that we spend so much time considering, but rather it's about what God thinks of me that matters. I want to notice back in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 6, look at the verse here. The Bible says, to the praise and glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. You know, so many times we get wrapped up in the pursuit of not His glory, but our own glory. And so I would just say this in closing. Number one, we've looked at the fact that serving Him and realizing our acceptance is an important part of the Christian life. Number two, we've looked at how to know if you're being held hostage to the approval of others, noticing that we struggle to compare ourselves with each other, and then that we're easily frustrated by our own limitations. And then finally, I want you to notice here how Paul encourages us to enjoy our position in Christ. You know, the Christian life is so liberating when we realize that we don't live this life for other people. That is a miserable place to be. A miserable place to live. A person that is focused continually upon, do my clothes? Are people going to accept my clothes? Are people going to accept the personality that I have? What about my looks? What am I ugly? Are people going to accept who I am and how I look? And you know what? It's a slippery slope that just goes on and on and on and on. And Paul wants to remind us that, hey, listen, the most important thing about acceptance and approval is whether or not you are accepted and approved of Almighty God. Because it's just like Leah was saying, when you and I realize who we are in Christ, boy, it brings a subtle confidence to our lives that is priceless. I close with this thought, and that is, when I was young, I learned to do right by looking to my parents. There was very little that my dad had to say whenever I did something wrong. It was very important to me that I live up to the standard that he had set and that he be pleased with me. That was the forefront of my mind. As I got a little older, and when I got saved, my thinking began to change. Now, my parents always were important to me. Okay, pleasing them was important. I wanted to honor them, and I still want to honor them today. And you should as well. But there came a point in my life where all of my decisions and everything I was doing was not just because I wanted to please them. It went beyond. It went beyond to, you know what? Hey, I have a walk with the Lord now. I can walk with Him and look to Him. I can find and understand that I'm accepted and approved and favored personally by God. And you know, as I teach my boys, you know, this is something that they're going to grow in. You know, right now you ask them, I want to please mommy and daddy. That's what they're going to say. I want to please mommy and daddy. Now, we draw the lines and say, hey, when you cross this line, you're not just disappointing us, but you're disappointing the Lord because that's His standard. Okay, they're going to get that after a while, and they're going to grow in that area. But what I want to leave you guys with tonight is this. Listen, it's not just about pleasing your teachers in class. It's not just so when you walk across the platform at your school, whichever that may be, getting a pat on the back or a handshake from your principal that makes you feel good inside about an accomplishment. Does that have a place? Sure it does. But is that what we live for? No. And really, when we get a hold of this and realize that we have been accepted, approved, favored in the eyes of God, boy, it brings a confidence to Christian living. I encourage you, listen, if you've got your eyes on other people, don't live your life that way. I encourage you, if you've got your eyes on your weaknesses and how people favor you in this area or the next, it's a slippery slope, all right? Rejoice in that you've been accepted tonight. Heavenly Father, Lord, we could not thank you enough for taking the pressure off of our lives. Lord, if we were to try to live to please everybody, Lord, even try to live up to a certain standard where everybody at every moment was happy with us, Lord, we couldn't possibly handle that pressure. Lord, you've taken the pressure off, and Lord, you've accepted us for who we are, and Lord, that's a humbling thing. Lord, it makes us want to serve you more. It makes us want to love you more. But Lord, I pray that we would not fall into the trap of looking at other people for favor that we already receive from you. Lord, for acceptance that we've already received from you. Help us not to compare ourselves among ourselves. Lord, help us to consider you most of all and thank you for what you've done for us. We ask these things in your precious name. As the piano plays tonight, if God's spoken to your heart about this principle of being accepted in the Lord, I encourage you to come and talk to the Lord about it. The altar's open as it always is. Take just a few moments here to talk to the Lord. You can do it in your seat. You can do it at the altar, wherever you please. Your relationship with God, it's the most important thing, and it touches every aspect of your life. Are you seeking man's approval? Are you seeking the Lord's? Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for this principle. I pray that you'd help us to walk out of this room with it on our hearts. Lord, thank you for delighting in us. And thank you, Lord, for giving us a home in heaven. Lord, I pray that as we leave tonight, that, Lord, that we would contemplate what it means, Lord, to delight in you as you've delighted in us. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be favored of you. Lord, may we go in the strength of that truth tonight. In your name we pray. Amen.